Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Hope you're doing well. Jason, how are you?
Doing swell.
Kareem, how are you on this rainy Monday as we record this?
The 15th of next month, I will be stupendous.
Oh, because Valentine's Day will be over and you won't have to worry about it?
No, I've already made my thing for the month, so nice. I'll get a bonus.
Oh, bonus. Coming up on the show today, we found out what killed Tom Petty. I have something that I have titled, What the Actual Fuck? We'll talk about that. Plus, Alex Jones is upset. I know that's shocking.
Again?
Well, unexpected reason why. So that was that's why it's in the show.
Okay.
That's why it's in the show. I mean, him just yelling about stuff is not really worth our time, although it's funny every now and then.
Every now and then.
Got a little new configuration of my gear here, so I'm having to look around to see Jason now.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if this is how it's going to stay or what we're going to do. I may change this up at some point. And because this is an audio format, you can't see what I'm talking about, and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. So welcome. No, I have my iPod on a stand, and I got rid of a small table and moved a computer over. So now my iPad sort of blocks half of Jason. So I got a Harvey Dent thing going on with him.
Luckily, it's the good half.
Oh, okay. It's that half. Fantastic. So how was your week, guys? Let's start with you, Jason. I know you've got the in-laws are still in town.
Yeah, so on Chris had surgery over the weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was planned and everything went great. But she was out, so that meant that I was on baby duty in the nighttime.
And boy, are your nipples sore.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I was up every 2-3 hours with the kid. Like, I don't know how moms do it, they breastfeed.
It was tough on you?
It was tough. Like, it was 2 tough days.
Your nipples bleeding?
No, it was not tough. That wasn't tough like that. So I had, so that was kind of what my weekend consisted of for the most part that I remember. Went to the farmer's market with my father-in-law.
Oh, which one?
To the South Side Park.
Oh, the one on Sunday.
Yep, on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Went and did that. That was nice. Cooked some chicken, watched the game. I mean, like, it was a pretty chill Sunday. I'm trying to think. I did a show on Saturday night.
How did that go?
It went well. You know, here's the thing. It's improv. It's improv. So, you know, the audience had a good time. And that's all that matters. So, yeah, that's pretty much how my weekend's gone.
Cool. Kareem, yourself?
Took my goddaughter to dinner on Thursday night, because her parents split up during the holidays.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I figured I'd better spend some time with her. So we're going to hang out on Thursdays for a while.
Keeping her off the pole?
Yes, keeping her off the pole. Her dad's working from 6 to 3, 6 o'clock afternoon to 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so spend some time with her, keep her off the pole. Took my girlfriend and one of her friends to the Women's March on Saturday morning.
Oh, okay.
So that they wouldn't have to try to figure out where they were going to park and get back to the car and all of those.
So did you just drop them off and leave?
I dropped them off. And left.
For a moment, I thought you were marching along with all the ladies.
No. I watched some of the coverage on MSNBC and CNN.
Yeah.
I think she started back boot camp last week, so she was too tired to do anything the rest of the day.
Oh, okay.
after that. And then I spent Sunday yelling at the TV.
Oh, my God.
The Jacksonville Jaguars played not to lose.
Well, and they had what happens to every team that plays not to lose. You end up losing.
Yes.
Especially if you're playing a good team.
Oh my God.
You can't play a top quality quarterback and play not to lose.
Yeah.
You just can't. I didn't see a moment of the game.
Yeah. They
not a single moment.
They played not the first half. They had a great script. They moved the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots got a couple of calls in the first half. I'm going to say that. But I can't blame that on them losing. The Jacksonville Jaguars actually shot themselves in the foot. Rob Gronkowski didn't play the second half of the game. They didn't make the adjustments that they needed to win the game.
Right.
You knew Rob's out. Julian Edelman is the next guy.
Yeah.
And they did not move their second best corner over to him. They just left him on the outside. It was like, really? You going to let this guy beat you?
Right. That seems like a very poor decision.
Like, you really going to let that guy beat you? So, yeah. I spent the cussing at them for that. And then, I watched Black Lightning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I recorded it last week, and I watched that over the weekend. So
how was that?
I liked it.
I wasn't on Hulu, so I'm gonna have to check something else out because I it used to be you could watch any of those shows on Hulu.
It's on the CW app.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the CW app. I think I have it on my Xbox. So
yeah, so it has the right amount of pace and dialogue to kind of keep it moving. One of my friends was mad because he said it was too contrived. But he says it about everything. I'm like, it's a comic book. I don't know what these people.
Has he watched Arrow or Supergirl or any of the other, like, you have to get like Legends of Tomorrow. Like, I watched a lot, some of Arrow.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of Smallville. I watch a lot of Legends. I like that show. It's really ridiculous though. And it's contrived. Like, it's definitely like you watch it and it's procedural television. Yeah. Like
He was like, oh, the town's called Freetown. I was like, well, that is a historical reference. I was like, you know, there are a lot of towns in the Midwest, where runaway slaves or freed black people went and started their own towns and they were called like Freetown, Freeville. Like, there's a lot of places like that. So like, so it's not, that's not contrived. That's like a historical reference, but yeah, but it was I like it.
Have to watch it.
Yeah. What about you, Nate?
Well, it was sort of a split weekend for me. Leslie came home Friday night and said, I'm going to have to work this weekend.
Oh man.
She's running the show where she is in her new gig. And, she had something she had to work on. So I said, here's what I'm going to do for you.
She's the HWIC.
Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Saturday, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go shoot some pictures with my new camera. I'm going to go shoot some drone video and pictures and just leave you alone. So Saturday, went to the farmer's market, the Midtown Farmer's Market.
Oh, okay.
Got some photos there, talked to some friends, picked up a couple things, came back home, and then went out to shoot some video. And, of course, I couldn't get near downtown because Women's March.
Yes.
So I got some really nice shots of the rail yard, aerials, and the whole deal. Everything came out really nice. And then I went to shoot some other stuff. And so, fun story. I came home, had an apple and a cup of coffee. And I went back out. And I got to a place over here near the Barge Canal in West Sac, and I was going to go hike out. And I got out of the car, and I had this immediate feeling that I should go back home where I can use the restroom.
You said an apple and a cup of coffee?
Yes, sir. Apple and a cup of coffee.
Did Leslie hit you over the head the night before?
No. it's all on my own doing. And so I made it back here in time. I legitimately thought more than once that, oh, my God, I'm going to shit my pants in my car. Which, if you know me, the only person who's ever shit their pants in my car is this girl I went out with in the early 90s. It's a great story.
For one of you.
Well, yeah, I'm sure she's not telling her friends about the time she shit her pants in the car on a date. You never know. I mean, at this point, she's in her 40s, you know. What the hell? She's only told her therapist. So anyway, get back out and I go for a hike and get some nice shots of, basically it's barge canal. It's near the deep water channel in the port of Sacramento and got some drone shots out there. Really, really cool stuff. And, hiked back and, you know, wrapped up my day with that. And then Sunday, I got free tickets to Monster Jam.
I saw that. How was that?
Monster Jam was fun. It was stupid fun. You know, just kind of a dumb distraction for the day.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch it because I didn't really care about the football game. I assumed New England was going to win. And then I saw Jacksonville got up and I'm like, oh. And then they slowly gave away the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, Monster Jam was a lot of fun. And Leslie's aunt and uncle came down from Reading and we brought them to the Monster Jam and just, you know, it was a day of fun. It's really weird to think of the Kings playing and then the exact same space. They've thrown a pile of dirt down and now they've got monster trucks jumping over shit on it. It's really trippy.
I was kind of curious. I was like, I wonder how they're going to do that. I almost wanted to go just to see how they.
Yeah, the first probably 10 or 12 rows basically push back in all the way around the arena. So those are all pushed back. And then they put tarps over the next 5 or 6 rows so that you're not really right next to the Monster Jam stuff.
Okay.
So the crowd is not in danger at any point. We had tickets in the upper level, which was great because you could see everything. Ooh. And there's not a bad seat in the place, but... yeah, that was a lot of fun to just get out and watch something dumb and we get there and of course they're selling, you can see they've got these up there, the $25 earmuffs basically so that you don't hurt your ears for the little kids and there's tons of little kids and they're selling all the stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to spend $25 on a pair of earmuffs. So I go up to upstairs the merch table. Empty. Nobody there.
Wow.
And I'm like, do you have any just earplugs? And he goes, oh, yeah. They're not out anywhere. There's no sign saying they have them.
Yeah.
Because they're $2 and they want to sell the $25 pair.
Oh, yeah.
So, we got out of there. It was fun. But the Golden One Center, if it's not the Kings, so many of the concession stands are just closed.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, we had gone to Punch Bowl Social.
How was that?
So hipstery.
Oh, yeah?
What is that exactly?
Okay, so Punch Bowl Social is basically a restaurant nightclub type situation, and there's a little bowling alley in there. It's basically one business designed to look like three.
Ah.
And we go to sit down, and the waitress says, okay, just want to let you know we are out of the monkey bread French toast. And I was like... You're kidding, right? You have to be kidding me. That's the one thing on your menu that looked fantastic and completely different than everybody else has.
Yeah.
We're out of it. How are you out of that? How are you out of that at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning? How are you out of one of your signature things at 11 a.m. on Sunday? How does that happen? Jason, how does that happen?
Did you go steal it all, man?
No. It can be two things. It can be either...
the person who buys all of your monkey bread is Jewish?
No, the person...
And they couldn't work on Saturday?
No, that they just didn't buy enough. They didn't foresee how much they would sell on Saturday and Sunday combined. So just bad planning. Then there's a second... I mean, and Sunday's like, you know, 11 on Sunday's... almost the end. There's probably another 2 or 3 hours. So, depending on what time they've sold out on Sunday. But the second thing, the women's march the day before.
Yeah.
And then
those bitches ate all the goddamn monkey bread.
And then the second, because like they don't get deliveries on like on Sunday.
Christiana, you ate all the monkey bread, didn't you? Didn't you, Christiana?
Or it could just be that there's certain restaurants that will, to drive up like return customers or also sales and stuff like that, they don't talk about it, and it's kind of like an inside restaurant thing. They'll short order certain items on their menu so people will come back. So like they'll say, oh no, it was really popular today. It was a hot item. You know, come back next weekend, you know, make sure that we have some.
Well, that's going to backfire on me because I'm like, well, those sons of bitches ain't ever going to have it.
Well, I think it was probably somebody didn't realize that they were going to be
slammed. I think you're right about the women's march.
Yeah.
It's probably the women.
Because I know. Barb said last year when they were trying to get somewhere to eat after the march, it was like an hour and a half wait.
Yeah, and I saw Christiana tried to go to Old Soul on Capitol Mall, and apparently they staffed it like a regular Saturday on Capitol Mall.
Yeah.
Where there's no one there, and there were like 30,000 people there.
Yeah.
So that probably had something to do with it.
But anyway, Punch Bowl, it was pretty decent. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right. Worth going to see. It was, the nice thing is it's so close to the arena. I mean, it's one of those places that's right at the arena, so it's pretty easy to just.
Well, it's like I almost want at some point, like it seems like it might be a fun staycation to go, like to get a room with the Sawyer and just like go to something at Golden One and then, you know, I don't know.
Oh, and my other irritation. So I have my ticket to Monster Jam and I have my camera, my little camera bag.
Yeah.
And I go up and the security guard goes, oh, you can't bring that in. I go, what do you mean I can't bring it in? Oh, long lenses and Gorilla Pods aren't allowed. I said, what do you mean they're not allowed? There's nothing on my ticket that says no cameras.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you have to bring it back to your car. I go, I didn't have a car here. I got dropped off.
Yeah.
Like most of the people who come to your fucking arena.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you can't bring it in because blah, blah, blah. So now I'm fucking irritated. And then they go, oh, but if you wanna just put it away for storage, you can just bring it over to the Sawyer, and they'll hold on to it for you. And I'm skeptical, but I'm like, well, it's either that or I don't go.
Yeah.
And so I walk over, and they could not have been nicer at the Sawyer. They're like, oh yeah, well, gave me a claim check for it, whole thing's like, oh yeah, no, blah blah blah, no problem at all. I'm not staying there.
Yeah.
So now I want to go back there.
Yeah.
And when I picked it up after, they were super nice and, you know, just, it was a nice experience. So I'm not just going to complain about no monkey bread at one place.
Yeah.
Without,
well, there was a plus.
There was, well, the plus only came about because of those assholes.
Because of assholes.
Well, no. I don't blame the security guards. I blame the assholes, correct term, who don't want you to have a camera in there. Do not put it on don't put it on the tickets.
Yeah.
I've gotten tickets for stuff and it says no cameras. And I'm like, okay, cool. No cameras. I get it.
I've gone to movies before. I've gone to like previews where you have to give them your phone when you're inside, like when you go see the movie.
Okay. Here's the other thing about Monster Jam. The entirety of the pre-show at Monster Jam are fucking things that tell you to take lots of pictures and tag them on social media.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't bring your camera in, but take plenty of pictures and give us free publicity on social media.
Did you write a letter to them?
Eat a dick, Monster Jam.
You should write a letter to them.
Eat a dick. And I don't know if it's Monster Jam or if it's some Golden One policy I don't know about.
Well, write them both. CC them.
Dear dicks.
Dear assholes.
Yeah. So, don't bring your camera to Golden One unless it's your cell phone, and then take plenty of pictures and hashtag them.
Yes.
Hashtag fuckers.
hashtag go fuck yourself.
All right, so now I'm worked up, but I'm not as worked up as Alex Jones was because that would be very upsetting. so apparently they do a behind the scenes after the show thing at the Alex Jones show and. Because there's got to be a huge demand for that.
There's an after show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is, so you'll hear a voice that is not Alex Jones. It's people behind the scenes, like his producer and a couple other people. Just to give you an idea of what this is about. But, headline is, the first part of the headline is, Alex Jones goes on a profanity-laced rant. So I said, well, we have to play that.
Speaking of language, don't you guys think it was interesting that CNN was able to use shithole 195?
Yeah, yeah, but if I say it, I get fined $4,000. Exactly. CNN can say shithole, and you don't fucking bitch about it! And because you're a goddamn cunt!
Was...
Fucking okay, amen.
Okay, we're 17 seconds in.
Okay.
We're 17 seconds in. And by the way, CNN was saying shithole to quote the President of the United States. Not just to randomly say shithole.
Yeah.
We've still got over a minute.
CNN, you're a fucking mind control fuck!
Was CNN taken off Twitter? Were they banned from Twitter for a day? I have yet to read that story. I have yet to read the story where CNN...
They'll probably age restrict this shit! And the fucking people in there will love it! They don't care if they're sacrificing babies and pot-bellied PVPs are raping them. All they care about is if I use Anglo-Saxon shit!
He also said the N-word. Peter Stroke got on there with Don Lemon and said the N-word three times.
Yeah, and you.
They're all just like F. Lee Bailey in the.
Oh yeah.
In the O.J. thing said N-word 41 times. Yeah. They are allowed to do it, not us. Yeah. Well, fuck you. That's why I fucking use it. I don't need to use cuss words. I got a giant lexicon, bitches.
I got a giant lexicon, bitches.
Oh my god,
I love it. Can I get that tattooed on my on my arm?
You can. It's a free country.
Giant lexicon, bitches.
But I'm gonna use it because you're not gonna sit there and tell me what to use. You got that? You got that? You got that?
He's flipping the bird.
I'm not talking to our regular listeners and viewers. I'm talking about all the fucking control freaks who want to run my life. You've already run shit in the ground, and you and your political correctness can go straight to hell.
Boom.
So that's what he's upset about.
Wow. Really? That he said shit, that they said shithole 17 times.
Mm-hmm. Well, and his producer, his smug little dickweed producer.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Who can't grow a mustache, by the way. Call me when you can grow facial hair, dickweed. Is doing nothing but sort of winding it up.
Oh, yeah.
Do this whole thing. They're like, well, did they get banned from Twitter for a day? There's a difference between saying shithole and being a racist asshole.
Yeah. F. Lee Bailey said the N-word 41 times. Was he not quoting Mark Furman when he said it?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a thing for that. So he's upset. Meanwhile, so the government shutdown didn't last long. It's over at this point. And the White House public comment line was not working on Sunday. So people who called the number were told that it was all the Democrats' fault.
Of course
it was. The comment line, which can be reached at 202-456-1111, is supposed to allow citizens a chance to leave a voice message for the president. So go ahead and do that. Callers on Sunday were greeted by these recorded words. Thank you for calling the White House. Unfortunately, we cannot answer your call today because congressional Democrats are holding the government funding, including funding for our troops and other national security priorities, hostage to an unrelated immigration debate. Due to this obstruction, the government is shut down.
So the fact that Claire McCaskill tried to hold the vote so that you could the troops could get paid and the Republicans shut that down. You kind of forgot about that one, huh?
They did. By the way, here's the other thing. It's a fucking answering machine.
Yeah.
It does not require funding to take messages.
No.
You could have left a message saying, because the government is shut down, no one is staffing this and your message may not be heard
until
the government is back in operation.
Yes.
But you can leave a message.
Yeah. And not to mention the fact that the Democrats and Republicans were told to bring a bipartisan bill and it would be signed. They did that. President head up his ass, decided that after Stephen Miller and John Kelly told him that it wasn't in his best political interest, he decided to go against what he had told them. So fuck them for lying.
So I got this this email today at 12:33 p.m.
Okay.
Friend, you are the reason our government is back open. Ever since the Schumer shutdown, we received 48 petitions per second from Americans like you demanding Democrats stop holding our military hostage to give amnesty to illegal immigrants. Democrats in red states, we won big leagues, saw how angry you were with your disgusting tactics, and couldn't go on any longer. That's literally what it says. Democrats in red states, we won big league, saw how angry you were with their disgusting tactics, and couldn't go on any longer. Doesn't make any sense. This is how we win, by rallying together and fighting. But during the shutdown, Pelosi raised hundreds of thousands of dollars from a radical base that wants unchecked illegal immigration. We can't let them get away with it. We will never forget the names of every single liberal obstructionist responsible for this disgusting shutdown, and we will work to fire them come November. Contribute $1. Thank you, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. Contribute $1.
Did you reply? New phone, who dis?
Yeah, no. I get shit from him. I get shit like...
Why exactly are you on his mailing list?
I have no fucking idea, man. I don't know.
Is your wife secretly giving to the Trump campaign in your name?
No, on the 21st, I got one that said that it was just titled Complicit.
Since you mentioned it, yeah. Jason, the Trump campaign has a new ad out titled Complicit.
That's illegal immigrant Luis Bracamontes, charged with murdering two police officers. It's pure evil. President Trump is right. Build the wall. Deport criminals. Stop illegal immigration now. Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. President Trump will fix our border and keep our families safe.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
You've been president for 1 year, and you're running again? And by the way, that trial is going on right now in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's going on right now. He admits that he did it. By the way, he was deported like 7 times. And your Wallen going to stop that?
No. Those people come back. Those people will pay or figure out how to get back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, plane, boat, whatever.
Yeah.
Your wall ain't going to stop it.
No.
Dipshit. Bernie Sanders was a little bit more diplomatic in how he responded to that ad, which is odd because Bernie's not actually a Democrat. He ran as a Democrat, but he is an independent senator from the state of Vermont.
Hours after the shutdown went into effect, the Trump campaign released a new web ad accusing the Democrats of being, quote, complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. Take a look.
President Trump is right. Build the wall. Deport criminals. Stop illegal immigration now. Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants.
What's your response?
You know, it is really unbelievable and so sad for our country that we have a president of the United States who says such nonsense and such outrageous statements. What we are talking about here now in terms of the Dreamers is something that is supported, I think, in a recent poll in CNN by 84% of the American people. CBS, 87% of the American people say that these young people who came to this country at the age of 2 or 3 or 4, who are now working, 20,000 of them are teachers, they are in school, they are in the military, their legal status needs to be protected after Trump took it away in September. They need a path towards citizenship. That's not my view. That is the overwhelming view of the American people. And then you see a president put stuff like that on the air, trying to divide us up, trying to foment hatred. It is really sad.
Why is nobody else out there saying the same thing? Why is it just Bernie? Why are they not yelling it from every podium in America?
I don't think he's the only person that's saying it.
He's the only. I haven't heard it from very many other people. There's a lot of and just sort of keeping it down. There's not a lot of people. Jeff Flake, who's a Republican, made a speech in Congress last week talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard a lot of people really step out in a public forum and call out the nonsense for being nonsense. Jason, have you heard a lot of people doing that? I mean, politicians?
No, they're so... Here's the thing, is like they're all so... So many of them are so into their own self-interest. And maybe they were working this weekend trying to get a budget approved. You know, like
Well, I mean, even before this, all of his nonsense. I mean, no, I know Cory Booker did in a hearing.
Kamala Harris does it. Maxine Waters is on. Was it on AM Joy every just like every other weekend?
Who's the woman that that has the two legs have been amputated? Also,
I can't think of her name.
But it's a handful.
Yeah,
no,
it's a handful.
There's so much. I mean, look at the Democrats did cave. You know, they did. You know, with a handshake, wink and a nudge agreement that it'll be taken care of and a path will be formed for DACA. But I mean, like. You can't fucking trust that. Like, you can't, like, they've shown you.
Who didn't know that the Democrats weren't going to cave? I'm actually surprised that it shut down. I'm actually surprised that they let it shut down. I actually thought they were going to cave before the shutdown.
I think it was part of Trump's plan.
Yeah.
And, I mean, immediately it was, oh, it's the Schumer shutdown and go ahead and do that. It was the Republicans' plan to let the shutdown happen and try and pin it on Democrats.
Yeah.
Because, look, they're the ones that are, they don't care about the military. They're siding with illegal aliens who murder people over the military.
Yeah. So it was just a chance to get that ad out.
Yeah. They didn't just throw that ad together at midnight Friday night.
You're right.
That was,
takes planning.
That was a strategy. They heard about the sound from Bracamontes in Sacramento.
Yeah.
They heard that sound and said, oh, my God, we have to do this. And the problem is everybody needs to call it out. Everybody in a position of power needs to call it out. It can't just be that handful of people who are brave enough to stand up and say, this is wrong, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos to them for doing it. And especially people like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and people who are not, like, Jeff Flake, he's not running again. He's a Republican, but he's not running again. So for him to step up and say these things, he has nothing to lose. Someone like Kamala Harris is in her first term in the Senate.
Yeah.
I mean, she has four more years in there.
Yeah.
On this term. But she's somebody who is taking a stand. And you need more people who are taking a stand.
You need more white people to take a stand.
Yeah.
Because black people are taking a stand.
Yeah, I noticed that as we were naming them off. Well, who is taking a stand? It's Bernie and the black people.
Bernie and the black people, yeah.
So the Jew and the black people.
Yeah.
It's Bernie and the black people. By the way, great soul band.
Yes.
I think he made an album, didn't he?
he did. So let me just say this. It's been said before, but let me say it again. Wake up, white people. Come on.
Yeah.
Wake up. Nancy Pelosi, where are you?
Yo, all marching on Saturday talking about y'all got. Yeah, y'all need to be more inclusive or what's it? I saw some woman saying white women we need to she's saying white women we need to step up and correct their wrongs, whatever. But yeah, no, that's who needs to step up.
Yeah.
You need really Manchin that keeps trying to play both sides against the middle? Steve Manchin, I think that's his name.
Mnuchin?
The guy from West Virginia. He's a Democrat, but he's...
Oh, no. Steve Mnuchin's the Treasury Secretary.
Yeah. No, yeah. He keeps trying to play both sides against the middle. He's a Democrat, but he's really not a Democrat.
Right. Well, in West Virginia, I don't know that he can be.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's all happening. The other thing, did we talk about New California last week?
No,
oh, man, fuck these people.
Okay, and here's why fuck these people, because I don't want to be dragged along with these goddamn hillbillies.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, once you cross the river here into West Sacramento, which is in Yolo County, they want to drag that in to New California. You would be sitting in New California right now. So fuck you. Don't drag me along with your goddamn nonsense. By the way, your taxes are too high. Okay, so you're going to get rid of all of the large cities along the coast. You're going to maintain roads. You're going to maintain schools. You're going to cut your taxes. And you're going to get rid of everybody who makes any fucking money to pay into the kitty. How are you going to manage this? How exactly do you expect this to go?
They don't fucking get it. They don't get it. They don't understand that bodies in places equal tax dollars. Even if that person doesn't file taxes, they're still paying taxes. Like, every time they buy something, they're paying a fucking state sales tax. Mm-hmm. So everything that's generated as money that buys something in the state of California goes to all of California. Like that's not... Oh, my God. Like, people just don't fucking get it.
If you live in East Bejesus Nowhere, California, and you're bitching and moaning, I don't get a thing in Sacramento.
But you're driving on a fucking road, and you have Caltrans services out there, mm-hmm. go fuck yourself.
Right?
Go fuck yourself.
Absolutely. Because, and this goes to the state of Jefferson people, too. Stop your goddamn nonsense. And they're like, well, we're doing it differently. We're doing it sort of like, and by the way, it's nothing but 50-plus-year-old white people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop being stupid. God damn it, white people. Stop being stupid. You're welcome, Kareem. And they're like, well, we're going to do it. That's the way West Virginia was formed. And I'm like, that's your fucking goal? To be like West Virginia? How much better would West Virginia be if it were part of Virginia?
Yeah. You know,
they've got money there.
Yeah.
In West Virginia, they're like, bring back the coal industry. It's not happening. Yeah, your job is not coming back. It was taken by machines.
Yes.
Machines. Anyway.
And maybe you should... there's no reason... I've been to Paradise, all right? There's no reason for you to be in Paradise unless you're taking care of old people.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is no reason for you to be in Paradise except for that. Because that's where people go to retire, and that's it. So there should be a small working force class that's there, which is there because it is the kind of what it is. But, like... Oh man, I've seen so many people that grow up and go out there and then like end up there because that's where their parents are and they're fucking losers.
And by the way, let me tell you this, as someone who comes from a small state of Vermont is a small state geographically. It's a small state population wise. If you dropped Redding, California into Vermont, it would be the largest city in the state.
Yeah.
In Vermont, it's all really rural. But you've got Burlington, which is a city. It's a Vermont city. So it's not really a city like people who live in real cities think.
Yeah.
The people that live out in the countryside have that same attitude toward the people in Burlington that the people in, say, Redding or Fresno have about people in San Francisco and Los Angeles. They're like, the people over in Burlington, those city folk think they can... It's like, are you... It's not going to solve your problem. All you're going to do is resent the people in Fresno and the people in Redding.
Yeah.
That's all that's going to happen.
Because that's where all the tax revenue is.
Because you're going to look around and you're going to be in New California and you're going to go, what are the big places in New California? Oh, they're Fresno, Stockton, and Redding.
Yeah.
Those sons of bitches and those bigwigs in them cities, they're you don't stop it because you have a poisonous mindset.
Yeah.
Stop your poisonous mindsets, idiots. You want to live in the middle of nowhere? Good. Good for you. You love your lifestyle? That's fantastic. I'm happy for you. I really am.
But don't complain to me when you have to commute an hour and a half each way to get to your fucking job.
Well, and don't complain to me that you have to pay taxes. Yeah. Because you know who else has to pay taxes? Everybody else in the fucking state.
That is how shit gets done.
That is how roads get built. That's how roads get maintained.
That's
and by
how
the way,
schools
in place,
get built.
In places where they have to fucking plow the roads and sand the roads and handle that shit, if you don't have what are you going to do? You're not going to have Caltrans.
Yeah, Truckee. No. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, good luck getting up over the mountain.
Good luck. Good luck with that. All those... hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars worth of equipment that are given to you by the state of California.
Right. And it's all going to be gone. If you get your wish.
Oh, and those wildfires. Hey.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck when all of the rest of all of California burns down.
And don't try and drag me along with you. Assholes. Anyway.
Amen.
All right. Well, you know who's been profiting on Donald Trump's name lately?
I know who.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, dark and Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. So apparently, and this is under investigation now, there's a group that sued to find out who exactly paid off Stormy Daniels last October to stay quiet, or an October ago. stay quiet before the election, because, oh, yeah, that could be a violation of federal finance law.
Yes.
Whoopsie-doo. Anywho, Stormy Daniels is got some name recognition now, and she is taking
advantage. Brings her Making America Horny Again tour to the Trophy Club for a one-night performance this Saturday.
Cashing in on controversy.
On the heels of Stormy's national publicized alleged affair.
That affair, according to the Wall Street Journal, between adult film star Stormy Daniels and the now President of the United States, reportedly happened back in 2006 after the two met at a golf tournament. Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, and the White House have denied the relationship, but that's not stopping this club from promoting it.
This is the Twitter storm sensation.
And on Friday, In Touch magazine published the full transcript of a 2011 interview with Daniels in which she eagerly dishes on the tawdry details of her alleged sexual encounter with Donald Trump. According to the Associated Press, the tabloid never published it because Donald Trump's personal lawyer threatened to sue. Neither Trump nor his lawyer, Michael Cohen, have responded to CNN's request for comment. Now, journalists at several news outlets say just a few weeks before the 2016 election, Daniels told them she wanted to talk about her relationship with Trump, and then suddenly she didn't. The Wall Street Journal also reports that's around the time Cohen formed a shell company to pay the porn star $130,000 in exchange for her silence. CNN has obtained documents that show Cohen did set up at least two corporations in Delaware around that time, including one on September 30th, 2016, called Resolution Consultants, LLC. Those records show he dissolved it on October 17th. That same day, he incorporated Essential Consultants, LLC. And that's the company the Journal says Cohen used to pay Daniels hush money through a series of fake names and legal contracts. The White House avoiding answering questions about it Friday night on CNN.
Look, these matters were asked about and answered pretty extensively during the campaign. Now, I certainly don't have anything to add.
Well, there was a denial of the affair, but there's never been any reporting about her being paid by the president.
Sure, and you can contact the individuals who were involved with that.
CNN has not been able to independently contact Daniels, but in a statement attributed to her, she calls the Wall Street Journal article absolutely false and denies not only the affair, but ever receiving hush money from Donald Trump. That statement, however, was provided by Trump attorney Michael Cohen.
Curious, ain't it?
Yeah.
If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck.
Well, she didn't get paid by Donald Trump. She got paid by his lawyer.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and he set up two LLCs like the same day.
Yeah.
To pay her.
Yeah. By the way, there's paperwork.
Yeah.
Well, he hoped
journalists follow paperwork. Investigators follow paperwork. There is a trail of your malfeasance. It's going to be found out eventually.
Oh, but they did it all on paper. They didn't think anybody would ever figure it out.
Right. Anyway,
yeah.
Moving on from that nonsense, we found out what killed Tom Petty. It was an accidental drug overdose. He had several medications in his system. He was 66 when he died. He'd suffered several ailments before his death back in October. He insisted on keeping his commitment to his fans and toured for 53 dates, including here in Sacramento, with a fractured hip, and as he did, it worsened to a more serious injury. On the day he died, he was informed that his hip had graduated to a full-on break, and his family said it was their feeling that the pain was simply unbearable and was the cause for his overuse of medication. That's according to his wife and daughter. The medical examiner's news release said the autopsy found these drugs in Petty's system: fentanyl, oxycodone, acetylfentanyl, and despropanol fentanyl, all of which are opioids.
The same way Prince did.
Temazepam and alprazolam, which are sedatives, and citalopram, which is an antidepressant.
Same way Prince did. Started with a hip injury.
Yep. The cause of death, multi-system organ failure. So... now we know what it was, and
son of a bitch.
Yep. Completely preventable.
Yep.
Completely preventable. If you're sick, if you're injured, I mean, if you're Dave Grohl, keep going. But if you're anybody but Dave Grohl, call in sick, take the rest of your tour off, and take care of yourself. Because everybody else will be okay, and you'll get to go out on tour again.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. And I mean, that goes for anybody. Don't, I mean, there's this whole idea of, oh, I'm going to push through, I'm going to do this. Millennials don't have that so much. So good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. It's like, I'm going to take care of myself over the long term.
Yeah.
So you can shit on millennials all you want, but that is a much healthier mindset that I'm going to push through no matter what, because that's how you end up dying.
Well, you're going to die anyway.
Right. But how you die early.
True.
That's how you die early, unless you're Reggie White, and then it's just
your time.
Sleep
it's your time.
By the way, we're watching The Amazing Race. Do you ever watch The Amazing Race?
No, but I saw the commercial for it.
So one of the teams this year is Cedric Ceballos and Sean Marion.
Yeah.
And Cedric did this challenge, like a physical challenge. And he's like, he's talking about how hard it was. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he's got his, you know, beat up knees, that sort of thing. And he goes, yeah, and I had a couple heart attacks a few years back. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I'm thinking, I'm doing the math in my head. So I asked Siri, I said, hey, Siri, how old is Cedric Ceballos? Oh, now it's not going to answer. He's 48. He's 48 years old, and he had a couple heart attacks a few years back.
Yeah. Fuck. So, remember, I lost a brother to.
Right.
Last year.
Yep.
To that. I actually also found out last year that my best friend had a heart attack that he didn't know that he had until he got ready to get out of the Air Force.
Damn.
So we're the same age.
Right.
And so, yeah, so he went to go do his physical to get out. And, remember you had this going on? And he was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you probably had a heart attack then.
Unbelievable.
I was like, what? Yeah. That might have been like, that had to have been like in the last 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It is crazy. I mean, I know people of all ages and all races have heart attacks, but it's stunning how many African Americans have heart issues.
Well, we got a lot of pressure, man. There's a lot of pressure being black. Y'all just don't understand.
I don't.
We live with PTSD.
Well, and we know why.
Every time you see a police officer, your ass puckers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I look at a white woman too long, I got a magical pair of handcuffs that disappear.
Well. In Louisville, Kentucky, a former assistant police chief of Prospect told a Louisville Metro Police recruit that if he catches juveniles smoking marijuana, he should shoot them if they're black.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, that's been a big story on every newspaper. I mean, a lot of different... every station in that area.
Former assistant police chief tells an LMPD recruit to, quote, shoot black people.
WDRB's Katrina Helmer tonight explains how the disturbing Facebook messages came to light and why the officer wasn't fired right away. Katrina.
These messages are graphic, racist, and sexual. But Prospect's mayor says he had to follow the Policeman Bill of Rights before taking any action. Dark secret words uncovered.
Probably the most disgusting thing I've seen come out of the mouth of a police officer.
While looking into another criminal investigation, Jefferson County Attorney Mike O'Connell discovered these private Facebook messages between now former Assistant Police Chief of Prospect Todd Shaw and an LMPD recruit. A meme shows Elmer Fudd with a gun and an offensive sign. Another shows a boy with a disability wearing a shirt with a racial slur.
The sign was a drawing of Elmer Fudd, and it said, N-word season. Except it didn't say N-word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who shares such blatant racist views should not be given a badge or a gun.
In another message, the recruit asks what to do if he catches juvenile smoking marijuana. Shaw responds, F the right thing. If black, shoot them. Then Shaw suggests having sex with the juvenile's parents. Unless daddy is black, then shoot him.
How could anybody say these things?
The Prospect Police Department hired Shaw, a former LMPD officer, in 2012.
He had a clean record.
Then August 31st of last year, the Jefferson County attorney sent Prospect Mayor John Evans this letter, including parts of the Facebook messages.
And I was shocked.
Evans immediately told the Prospect police chief, who put Shaw on paid suspension for nearly 3 months while he investigated the Facebook messages.
Oh, he had to take time because there was a lot of material to go through.
Then November 20th, the police chief had an interview with Shaw, and that's when Shaw resigned.
Why wasn't he fired as soon as you guys found out?
Because the law doesn't work that way.
Mayor Evans says he knew Shaw.
My only impression of Todd was that he was a bit of a character.
But the mayor says there was nothing.
AKA. He sure was.
AKA yeah, racist. Was.
Yeah.
Like a character. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he likes to dress up on the weekends.
In sheets. In sheets with pointy hats. Unfucking believable.
You want to know who's complicit? All the white people that allow this shit to go on.
By the way, that was the thing that I wrote, the slug that I wrote on my rundown. What the actual fuck?
Yeah.
What the actual fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Really? And by the way, that's a legitimate question. What do I do if I find juveniles smoking marijuana? If I'm in training, that's a legitimate question. Do I ticket them? Do I confiscate the marijuana and ticket them? Do I bring them down to the station?
That's a legitimate question.
The response should never be, if they're black, do the right, fuck the right thing, shoot them.
Yeah.
What? What?
Yes. And you wonder how Donald Trump became president.
What the actual fuck?
Yeah. It's weird because I was just listening to a podcast today and they were doing this in 1890.
What the actual fuck?
Yeah.
I maintain my what the actual fuck. Just saying. Jason, what the actual fuck?
Man, I just wish that, like,
that's why we have heart disease.
Right?
That's why we dropping dead at 45.
That's why Cedric Ceballos, NBA All-Star, man in great physical condition, had a couple heart attacks a few years back.
Yeah.
And he's not 50 yet.
Yes.
I really just wish more white people, like, would hold other white people accountable for this.
Wake up, white people! I'm taking back that phrase, too. That's a phrase I'm taking back.
Get your hands out your asses.
I know racists use that to go, wake up white people, the brown people, to go, fuck off.
Since 1890.
Fuck right off. By the way, they're the minority. Now, soon, in a lot of places, there will be more Hispanics than white people. But you are in a position of majority if you are white. Virtually everywhere in this country. Why are you so frightened? Why are you so frightened of everything?
Why are you letting yourself be frightened? And why are you allowing yourself to think that there's this dream out there that everybody else is getting that you're not?
How do you think the guy down the... Okay, if it's the American dream and your neighbor is getting it, but they happen to be black, or they happen to be from India originally, how is that preventing you from achieving your dream?
It's not.
Exactly. It's not. You've put this artificial roadblock in your way to absolve yourself of any blame for not getting the most out of your life. So, again, I'm taking it back. Wake up, white people. Stop looking around at who's taking your shit from you, because it's you.
Yeah.
You're taking your own shit away from you. And if somebody else is getting it, it's because they're outworking you.
Yep.
And you're just looking for a reason to complain instead of a reason to succeed.
Hey, if I'm going to stay late and you're not going to stay late, I think I deserve to raise.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm going to learn how everything works and you're only going to learn your job because that's just my job,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to be your boss.
And yes, here's the thing. There are going to be situations where you are going to go for a position and there might be someone who is a minority going for the same position and your qualifications are dead equal and you may lose out to them because of that. It's because a 1,000 white people before you, one.
Yeah. And this might not even be that.
It might not even be that.
It might be just the fact that that person interviewed better.
They might have interviewed better. They might have a qualification you don't even know about.
Yes.
You don't know.
You don't know.
The only person holding you back is you. The only person holding you back is
you. And how about this? How about you do that thing that you told all the black people about, like, in the 80s and stuff like that,
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps?
Yeah, and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told this story, but I once got hired for a job. I got hired at the same time as a white woman did. And she got substantially more money than I did for the same job.
Hashtag me too.
Same position. Exact same position. Same job, same position. Didn't know shit.
Right.
I ended up having to do my job and her job. Yes. I had to do my job and her job. Not only did I know how to do the job better than she did, I had more connections than she did.
Mm-hmm.
I was bringing owners and chief estimators of companies to our company with new business. Just something to toss out there when you talk about these inequalities or how you're supposed to be.
Well, that's why government jobs, they publish the salaries.
Yes.
They publish the salaries in government jobs. If you are looking at a company like IKEA, where my wife works, they publish the salary range on these jobs. Most of the private sector does not do that.
Yes.
You're not required to.
No.
So you can go, oh, well, I have a job. Here's kind of what we want to pay somebody for it. We've got two openings. And you can go through but you're supposed to go, okay, I'm going to hire Jason and Kareem, but Kareem has 5 years of experience and a track record, so I'm going to give Kareem $5,000 more than I'm going to give Jason.
Right.
You can't go, I'm going to give Kareem $5,000 more than Jason because I like black people better than white people.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. And I think some of that gets mixed in there. But yeah, no, that was one of my experiences with the black and white thing. Oh, and it was a black man who hired us.
That son of a bitch.
Yes.
That son of a bitch.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
It sure is. All right, we're going to have a little different music going behind Florida Corner. It's a song I first heard today. Why is it not? Hold on. God damn it. I've just plugged... I'm going to just shoot this computer. Hold on. I've plugged a device. It was in the audio jack before.
Was it in the audio jail?
I give up. You know what's really funny? I've been playing
all the sound.
I played Alex Jones right out of the same computer. Yet I go to play this music. It's right? I'm very angry right now. Hold on. I'm about to call the computer a bad word. Let me find the jack here. I'm going to jam it in with no lube.
Maybe that's your problem.
It says you've just plugged a device into the audio jack. I certainly have. I certainly have. Let me do that. All right, now I'm irritated. All right, enough of that. All right, it's Florida Corner. You know, sometimes you just can't fight it.
You just can't fight it, man.
You just can't.
The ghost of the KKK came and got you.
Right?
Oh, you want to wake us up?
Oh, I call that white people. Ooh. All right. A Florida motorist was so impaired that he mistook a Bank of America drive-up lane for a Taco Bell and sought to order a burrito from the teller. That's according to an arrest report. The cops were summoned Wednesday afternoon to a Tampa area bank in reference to a suspected impaired driver. When
he pulled up to the bank?
Yeah. The drive-thru at the bank.
This happened at night.
So he's day drunk.
It happened in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Middle
of
the day.
That's why day drunk is so, it can be a bad thing, man.
When they got to the Bank of America, an investigator found Douglas Francisco, who's 28, at the wheel of a blue Hyundai in the bank's parking lot. A bank manager previously told police that a male driving a blue Hyundai had passed out at the wheel while in the bank's drive-through lane.
Wow.
After the employee beat on the car's window, the driver woke up and asked for a burrito. He subsequently drove away after being informed that he was not at Taco Bell. During police questioning, Francisco made several statements that were differing from reality. That's in quotes. The deputy noted that he had a delayed reaction to questions, as well as slowed movements of his extremities consistent with someone who was under the influence of prescription narcotics. Francisco was arrested after a field sobriety test yielded strong evidence of impairment. A search of him turned up Xanax and oxycodone pills, for which he had a prescription. Charged with driving under the influence, Francisco was booked into the county jail. On a misdemeanor rap, he was set free after posting $500 bail. Also in Florida, a Florida man who twice called 911 to report that his wife was a black widow spider was arrested early for misuse of the emergency system. William Rutger, who's a 61-year-old Tarpon Springs resident, first called 911 around 1:30 a.m. on a Tuesday and told the police operator that his spouse was an arachnid. Rutger added that he wanted her involuntary admitted for mental examination per the state's Baker Act. He was slurring his words and appeared intoxicated. That's according to the responding patrolman. Officer Jacob Miller explained to Rutger, who was not expressing coherent thoughts, that the 911 system was for emergencies only, and he did not arrest him. An hour and a half later, Rutger called 911 again to say that his wife was a black widow spider. When Miller returned to the residence, he put him in handcuffs, charged him with misusing the 911 system. Rutger entered a no-contest plea to the misdemeanor count, and a judge judged him guilty and ordered him to pay fines and court costs totaling $500. By the way, his rap sheet includes prior convictions for battery and drunk driving. Oh, here's the fun part. He's a retired lawyer and an author who wrote The Alcoholic's Guide to Adventure.
Oh, wow.
A 2009 autobiography that's described on Amazon as a, quote, lighthearted jaunt in the sublime world of drunken decadence. By the way, if you're going to pick that up, make sure you click the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Man, I might have to purchase that.
That's right. By the way, everybody who says you need to read books, fuck you. That's a book. Fuck you.
That'd be a good book. Why are you so against reading,
Nate? I'm not against reading. I'm just against everybody who tells me that books are above and beyond anything else.
No, I think generally whenever I've said like it's a great book, I'm just relating it to you in case you wanted to read it. But
sure.
Obviously, you're not a person that I should ever do that with.
That's right. Me and the president. No books for us. Even if it is a lighthearted jaunt in the sublime world of drunken decadence.
Sounds like something you would love.
Sure.
You would love the audiobook of that.
Yeah, I read it myself. So here's the time I went to the bank and ordered a burrito.
Bobby Moynihan needs to do it as drunk uncle.
Oh wow.
So that's Florida Corner. So we have an update in the Hobby Lobby saga. If you're not aware of Hobby Lobby, they are closed on Sunday. They're very religious. And they don't want their employees to have birth control. At least they don't want to pay for it in the health plan. So here's the other thing. They've been smuggling Iraqi religious artifacts out of the country and had a big cache of them. Well, they just surrendered 245 objects to the U.S. government. That's according to court documents. They voluntarily turned over the artifacts to federal prosecutors in New York. According to the Long Island Business News, this brings the total number of artifacts that they have surrendered so far to 3,839.
Holy shit.
Religious artifacts that they plundered from the Middle East. By the way, they previously agreed to turn over 5,500, so they still owe several hundred more religious artifacts. That's what's called raping a culture. Hobby Lobby, They agreed to pay a $3 million fine for smuggling religious artifacts out of Iraq, including thousands of ancient cuneiform tablets, which were deliberately mislabeled as tile samples.
Why was Hobby Lobby in Iraq?
Well, it's their evangelical Christian owners. They spent $1.6 million on the artifacts back in December of 2010, even after a cultural property law expert said that the business itself had retained warned such artifacts might have been looted and that without proper verification, they could be seized by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Nevertheless, according to a press statement from the U.S. Justice Department, Hobby Lobby persisted. The acquisition of the artifacts was fraught with red flags. For example, Hobby Lobby received conflicting information where the artifacts had been stored prior to the inspection in the United Arab Emirates. Further, when the artifacts were presented for inspection to Hobby Lobby's president and consultant in 2010, they were displayed informally. In addition, Hobby Lobby representatives had not met or communicated with the dealer who purportedly owned the artifacts, nor did they pay him for the artifacts. Rather, following instructions from another dealer, Hobby Lobby wired payment for those artifacts to seven personal bank accounts held in the names of other individuals.
Hobby Lobby knew what the fuck they were doing.
Of course they did. They included 450 ancient cuneiform tablets and around 3,000 clay boule or inscribed seals. That's according to court documents. Cuneiform is one of the world's oldest known systems of writing and believed to have originated in ancient Mesopotamia, if you're unfamiliar. A media relations representative for the Hobby Lobby Stores Incorporated issued the following statement to Newsweek. The 245 artifacts were part of the same transaction that was subject of the settlement with the government in July of 2017. At the time of the settlement, the artifacts could not be located. Hobby Lobby agreed that if they were located, the company would turn them over to government. The artifacts were subsequently located and turned over. By the way, the president of Hobby Lobby, Steve Green, owns one of the largest collections of religious artifacts anywhere in the world, having been actively collecting various Middle Eastern antiquities since 2009.
Racist white man, why do you want Middle Eastern architects? Actual things. Why, Jason?
Jesus
was a Middle Eastern man. He looked more Mexican than he did anything.
Jesus.
Why, Jason?
Why what?
Why do you want Jesus' stuff when Jesus wasn't a white man?
I'm not down with Jesus. No, I'm down with Jesus. But
are you?
I'm down with the Middle Eastern Jesus that does not look like...
Middle Eastern Jesus.
Not white. Not white, blonde-haired, long-haired.
I'm down with Middle beard. Eastern Jesus. Listen,
I had a picture in my room when I was growing up, all right? I had a picture in my room growing up of Jesus' face where he's a white man, blue eyes, and long blonde hair. Like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. Like,
you're not down with Christopher Columbus. Oh, was it? Michelangelo's brother.
What?
Michelangelo's brother. You're not down with him?
Donatello? Are you talking about the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, you're talking about the Ninja Turtles.
who drew the picture of the Sistine Chapel? Who did that?
Michelangelo.
Okay, yeah, that's Jesus. That's his brother. That's the picture of Jesus.
He's white though in there. He's white on it though, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, I know.
Right. Michelangelo's brother. That's what I'm saying. That's who that picture is.
Oh. I see what you're saying.
He's talking black to you, Jason.
I didn't know that it was Michelangelo's brother. I didn't know that was...
That's who that is.
I didn't know that's who he modeled it after. I did not take art history 101 ever.
Listen, growing up, my Jesus was a ginger, and that's all I know.
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
That's right. We're going to wrap this up and go to Plattsburgh, New York. That's right. It's Speak Out. And this week, it was a very long one, so I split it into, you know, two different shows. First off, plain and simple, our city's government is incompetent. Budgeting of a college kid with a credit card. Forget to stop recordings, bashing people, doing real work while we would be better off if they finger painted instead of doing their jobs badly. And they should manage a huge grant? Please.
I thought you were going to say finger banged.
Not in Plattsburgh. It's too cold for that. Everybody's got to wear mittens. Hey, lately there have been issues with the Common Council about who will be mayor pro tem. Perhaps the council would be better off if the city better served if the council put as much time into enforcing the rules for clearing snow and ice from sidewalks as it does about sniping about inconsequential issues such as the mayor pro tem. The average Plattsburgher can't even walk on the sidewalks this winter, and the council is negligent in enforcing the rules on the books. City Code 233-32.
Yes, I love sidewalk news!
The North Country Co-op is out of line asking for 20 parking spots in a public lot. I've shopped there for years and never seen anywhere near clients, anywhere near 20 clients at one time.
Because there's only 5 spots!
The problem can be easily solved if the co-op would offer carry-out to customers with heavy loads.
He does not understand anything.
They offered him to clients with heavy loads.
I'll give you a heavy load.
Right? And talking about some heavy loads. It's a rough time. By the way, I can play music fine out of Spotify, but not out of fucking iTunes on this computer. Just saying. The Department of Corrections finally makes changes to help keep contraband out of facilities. Inmates and their families are not happy about it. So Governor Cuomo decides to suspend the program. He willingly keeps making facilities even more dangerous.
Damn Cuomo's.
One local company is fraught with occupational health and safety violations that it hasn't addressed honestly, with a complaint to OSHA. How many local companies are neglectfully making their employees who need their jobs sick, while the company makes huge profits?
All of them.
And finally, those who talk about deporting undocumented immigrants do not understand the price. They don't receive benefits, according to the Pew Research Project. Over 3.4 million undocumented immigrants pay taxes, supplying money the government desperately needs. It would cost billions to deport the 11 million plus undocumented individuals, which is unreasonable. I don't really know how writing into to speak out is going to solve that, but okay. Fair point, I guess.
Fair point.
It's a very fair point. But I don't know why you're worried about that when people can't walk on the sidewalks.
Yeah, how are you supposed to get anywhere?
I mean, God damn it, why aren't they clearing the sidewalks?
Why aren't they just shoveling the sidewalk in front of their house? I mean, God damn it, what is it, this fucking lizard? Can't even, you know, have these lizards, they're cold-blooded. They, of course they need to come clear the sidewalks off the fucking thing. These fucking cunts.
Well, that's going to do it for Small Town News, and that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Hope you learned something. Hope you're waking up if you're one of the white people.
Wake up, white people!
But don't say you're woke.
Yeah, don't. Don't.
Please don't.
Because you're not. A, you're not, and B, no, just don't.
No, it's called being a fucking human being.
Yeah, just be a human being.
Just be a good-hearted, kind human being.
And stop blaming other people because you suck at life.
Yeah, just take accountability. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah. And shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Like a human being. You assholes. No, not you. Not you. I'm talking about the other guy.
The other one.
The other guy. Not you. Love you. Alright, back on Friday with another new show. We're going to have to talk about the Tide Pod Challenge.
Oh, man.
We'll do that on Friday. Enjoy the rest of this song, or don't. Show's over. Bye!